Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Hey. We are holding a Lamed Dalet and Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Dalet and Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss cases where if your shor does it, he's chayiv, but if you do it, you're pater, and vice versa. That if you do it, you're chayiv, but if your shor does it, then you'd be pater. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about mekalkel b'chabura by chovel and by b'chabura is chovel and mekalkel b'mavir. That even though normally when it comes to malacha Shabbos, if you do a malacha in a destructive way, one is not chayiv, but maybe there are two exceptions, chovel and mavir, which are inherently destructive melachos, so maybe one is chayiv on chovel and mavir, even b'derech mekalkel. The Gemara is going to have two answers to the raya from our Mishnah that mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv, and the Gemara is going to have two ways of rejecting that raya. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to have cases where we don't know exactly what happened, and there's some dispute. We know that an animal got hurt, but there's some dispute as to which animal hurt that animal. Was it your animal? Was it someone else's animal? Was it your better animal or your worse animal? And in all the cases of the Mishnah is going to say, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, that if you want to get paid, you got to prove what actually happened, that you deserve the higher amount of money that you're claiming you deserve. And then the Gemara is just going to point out that this is all against the Shita of Sumchus, because Sumchus holds that moment amutu b'safek cholkin, that you divide any money when there's some dispute about the money. So we try to explain whether, and that leads us to try to explain what exactly the case is in our Mishnah. Were both parties claiming a Tainas Bari? Was one claiming a Tainas Bari and one a Tainas Shema? And that's going to be the end of the last full daf of the third parak of Maseches Bava Kama. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Yesh chayv al maisa shoru pater al maisa atzmo. Sometimes a person is chayv for something that his shor does, but he's pater when he does it himself. Pater al maisa shoru v'chayv al maisa atzmo. Sometimes it's the reverse. He's pater if his shor does something, but he's chayv if he were to do that very same thing. If his shor is mevayesh somebody, embarrasses somebody, he's pater, because the pasuk Gemara has a drasha we already learned a week ago. Ish ba'amiso v'lo shor ba'amiso. So if a shor embarrasses someone, he's pater. But the guy himself embarrasses someone, he's chayiv.
If a shor embarrasses someone,
it causes in the way it injures someone, or the way it harms someone, it causes embarrassment. Shoro shesimeis ein avdo v'hipel eshino. If a shor knocks out an eved's eye or tooth, so normally when you knock out your eved's eye or tooth, the eved goes free. If a shor knocks out your eved's eye or tooth, potter, you don't have to let the eved go free. V'hu shesimeis ein avdo v'hipel eshino chayiv. But if you yourself knock out your eved's eye or tooth, then you're chayiv. You got to let him go free. Shoro shechaval ba'avivu v'imo chayiv. V'hu if your shor damaged your parent, you have to pay for the damage that was done. But if you physically harm a parent, you're pater from paying for the tashlum. And this is part of the rule of kam le b'derabimine, that if a person incurs two different punishments simultaneously, he only gets the worst of the two punishments. When one wounds his parent, he's chayiv misa for that. So he's not going to have to pay for the money, for the monetary payment that was incurred simultaneous to the chayiv misa. Shoro shehidlikas hagadosh b'shabes chayiv, v'hu shehidlikas hagadosh b'shabes pater. Again, the same idea. If your shor lights something on fire on Shabbos, you're going to have to pay for the damages that your shor did. If you light something on fire on Shabbos, you're going to be pater. And again, all based on the concept of kam le b'derab mine, that you're only going to be chayiv for the more severe of the two punishments. If you look in Tosos points out shor shebiyesh pater, that we mentioned one of the examples in the Mishnah, if shor embarrasses someone, your pater, tsar v'ripoy v'sheves u'dmei vados lo chashiv. Now, it doesn't mention the other payments that one has normally when they damage someone else. Mishum d'shamin masnis n'dachovel v'yafel gav d'boshes n'ami katani, because all those we already learned in the Mishnah in Achovel. I mentions boshes in that Mishnah as well. Mikal makom tanach l'daktik hu d'myo d'shoro o shoro d'myo d'day. But over here we want to highlight the contrast between shor and the owner. V'chein shor shehidlik hagadish itzrich lahachi k'disa b'gemara de lemilsa achriti lo itzrich t'pshita de chayiv. Meaning the idea that if your shor lights something on fire on Shabbos, it's going to be chayiv. Who cares if it's Shabbos? That's irrelevant. Obviously, the only reason we're mentioning the shor lighting something on fire on Shabbos is to contrast it with you lighting something on fire on Shabbos. Because as far as your shor is concerned, it makes no difference whether it's Shabbos or not. Your shor is not even though a person has a din of shvisas behema on Shabbos for those animals that belong to him, a shor is no iser malacha, you know, in its own right on Shabbos. There's no kam lebirabine. Obviously, when it comes to shor, and once we're talking about a case where you're chayiv benafsho, so you mentioned the case of avimo as well, where you'd also be chayiv benafsho. However, the only halacha about the shor that's actually a chiddush in the Mishnah says Tosfos, aval shoro shesima sein avdo itzrich shav bi shabbat mechayiv b'shoro pater da lo ashmin b'shum Mishnah. That we don't know from anywhere else. That's the only chiddush that we have about the shor in this Mishnah. Everything else is just to draw a contrast between a shor and Adam, but it's not really teaching us any chiddush about a shor. But the case of the shor knocking out the eved's eye or tooth, that's actually a chiddush we only know from this Mishnah. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbi Avoka made Rabbi Yochanan. Anytime you do a malacha in a destructive way, you are pater, you're not going to be chayiv misa for chil Shabbos, except for chovel and mavir. Chovel and mavir are exceptions to this rule. Rashi explains, from the fact that the Torah has to tell me that b'yom ha-shmini, afilu b'shabbos, that you do mila and mila's docha Shabbos, that teaches us that typically chovel you'd be chayiv. Umida asrach manas treifas paskoin b'shabbos to mekalkel hu mechal de mekalkel b'avar chayiv. And from the fact that the Torah says that we don't do sreifas paskoin, we don't burn a paskoin shazinsa on Shabbos, and even though it's mekalkel, it's obviously destructive to destroy human life, we see that it must be that mekalkel is chayiv. If you burn something, you burn clothing, that would be mekalkel, and nevertheless, one is chayiv. So we see chovel and mavir, even though they're done in destructive ways, one is still going to be chayiv. Amar leh, so after Rabbi Avos said that to Rabbi Yochanan said back, pok tani levra, chovel and mavir any mishnah. Go teach us that somewhere else, because chovel and mavir is not true. You're pater when you're mekalkel and chovel and mavir as well. The imtim silomer mishnah, and if you're going to say that chovel mavir, you are chayiv, chovel b'tzarech lekalbo, mavir b'tzarech lafaro. It has to be that there's some positive tikkun that comes out of it, that when you're chovel, that you need the blood for your dog, because the dog needs to drink blood or something, or mavir is because you need the ashes for some purpose. But if there's no constructive purpose in your chovel mavir, then it has to be that you're going to be putter. That is mekalkel. It's mekalkel is part of a broad spectrum of halachos and hilchos Shabbos that relate to melechas machsheves. One is only chayiv on Shabbos when they do a thoughtful, thoughtful is not a purposeful act, melechas machsheves. So there are a whole bunch of principles in hilchos Shabbos, some of which apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, some of which do not, but many are unique in certainly in the degree to which they apply in Hilchos Shabbos, that are all about the notion of Melechas Machshavos. Davar Shein Maskavein, Melechas Shein Tzricha Legufa, Mekalkel, Misasik, all of these things, all of these principles relate to the idea that if a person does a Melech in a less than purposeful way, that he's, that's not called the Melechas Machshavos, and therefore he's not going to be Chayiv on Shabbos for such Melecha. Tosos Mesecha Shabbos raises the kasha on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Mekalkel B'chabur is Pater, that the Gemara in Mesecha Schulin tells us that a sakin shal avodos kochavim, a knife of avodazara, you're allowed to shacht with, and it's not a violation of Isser Hana'a me avodazara. Why? Because it's Mekalkel. When you're shachting, you're being destructive. So ask Tosos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is Shechita Asr on Shabbos? It's Mekalkel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mekalkel is going to be Pater by everything, even Mekalkel B'chabura is going to be Pater. Why would Shechita be Asr on Shabbos? Isn't it by definition Mekalkel? So says Tosfos in Shabbos Taf Kuf Vav Amir Aleph that it's Dafka by Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's considered Kilkel, because Avodah Zarah is different. The Pasuk says V'yibach B'yotcha Mu'umma Min Acherim, and the Gemara Darshan says Avodah Zarah Lamedalin, that any Hana'a from Avodah Zarah is Asr, and therefore if the Kilkel is greater than the Tikkun, there's no Hana'a. But when it comes to Shabbos, if it's Derech derech shechita bekafta. If this is a normal shechita, so that is a tikkun that you shechted a behema. Now that behema can be eaten, as opposed to chavala and havara, which is not the derech bekach. Who goes around wounding and burning things? So that's considered the kilkul is meruba ala tikkun, and that's considered a kilkul. The Tosfos then quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between a tikkun bishasa kilkul, where you're going to be chayiv, and that's not called mekalkel, where the tikkun happens at that very moment, and a tikkun that doesn't come bishasa kilkul, where you're going to be pater, where that would have a din of mekalkel. Meaning, in our case, what's the case where we're going to say that there's a tikkun sarich la'afaro, you need the ashes later on, sarich la'kalbo, but in this act, in the very moment where you're doing the chavalo, you're doing the havara, there is no tikkun, as opposed to the shechita, you're being matched the behema ba'achila right now with the shechita. So even though, yes, you're destroying its life, but you're making it mutar b'achila, you're making the meat mutar b'achila. So the tikkun is right there in that very moment. And with that chilik, Rabbeinu Tam explains a whole bunch of sugyas, including our sugya. Sarach, you need the dam for the kelev, or the efer, for the wound, but it's still called mekalkel because the tikkun only comes later on. Or by a shochet, b'shasa kilkul, the tikkun is ready right there at the time of the kilkul, and therefore it's going to be it's going to be considered a tikkun, not a kilkul. And another sugyot explains, Tosfos points out, when you're korea begadav kedei laharos chamaso, you want to show how angry you are to the people in your house, so you break something, like a ball player who strikes out and he wants to show that he cares, so he goes and he knocks a water cooler over or something. So the Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei talks about people who do this. They want to show their family that they're angry, but so they go and they tear something or they break something. So that Rabbi Yehuda would say you're mechayev because it's not mekalkel, it's mesakin. Why is that called mesakin? Because the tikkun is coming at the shas kilkul, meaning his tikkun is that he's getting that message across. Or by killing mazikim, the Gemara talks about in Masecha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says someone who's the horig is chayev. Someone who kills chamisha mazikim if they're not chasing after him to damage him. So since the tikkun is right away at the shas hariga, which is the shas kilkul, so that's going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shmuel says patukas mlach shein sricha lagufa. So in all that yisod of Rabbeinu Tam, that it all depends on when the kilkul is happening, whether it's happening b'shaito or when the tikkun is happening, rather whether it's happening b'shaito or it's only happening later on. Tanan, so it says the Mishnah. Shoro shehidlik hasagadish b'shabes chayiv, v'hu shehidlik hasagadish b'shabes pater. Our Mishnah said that if your shor lights something on fire on Shabbos, you have to pay for it. If you light something on fire on Shabbos, you're pater. So we're saying that we're comparing these two cases, makes it sound like the circumstances are similar. Just like when a shor burns something on fire, it's not doing it because it wants ashes. The shor is not doesn't have that high level of thinking. So mistama, the case of the person burning something, is also deloka ba'ile, where he doesn't need the efer. And it's mekalkel. And yet, what does it say? That the guy is pater from tashlumin. Why? Because he's chayv mi. So you see that there is a chiv misa for chil Shabbos in that way. V'katani patim neshu nidon b'nafsho. It says that he's patim because he's chayiv misa. So isn't this a raya that when one is mavir, even though there's no tikkun of what you need it for, you're still going to be chayiv, that mekalkel is going to be chayiv b'havara? So the Gemara is going to have two ways of rejecting this. First, says the Gemara, lo, the premise is incorrect. Our premise that just like the case of the shor is obviously not a case where the shor needs the efer, so the case of the person must be the same. We have that backwards. Shoro dumya didei mahu dekabayilei afshoro dekabayilei. Now the case of the shor might actually be where the shor needs it, because and we're saying that just like the case of the guy is only going to be chayiv where the guy needs it, where there's some sort of tikkun for the guy, the shor could also be a case where the shor needs it, or the shor wants and there's some benefit for the shor. Not that the shor has to be that case, but that it could be that case, because for the shor, like we said, it doesn't really make a difference. Shoro hechi mishkachsa, what's a case where a shor is going to benefit in any way from damage, from burning something down? Amli ravavya hacham eskinam b'shor pikeach shosla neshicha begavo. You have a very smart shor that gets a bite on its back, and it knows that in order to heal itself, sometimes animals have this intuitive sense of what they need in order to get a refuah. So what does it do? It goes to burn something so it can use the ashes for the soothing effect that the ashes have on the bite. So you see that you can have this high level shahr, a high IQ shahr, that's able to do this, that's doing this for some sort of benefit. You know, there is a discussion in Masecha Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chesam Beis, tells us that a Sukkah's ganvach is kosher. So what's a Sukkah's ganvach? So Gimel, Nun, Beis, Chaf, they each stand for something else. A Sukkah built by a goy, a sukkah built by a behema, right? So the Gemara over there says that a sukkah built by a behema is kosher. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, I shouldn't say sukkah built, a sukkah of a behema is kosher. There's a discussion in the Achronim, what does that mean, a sukkah of a behema? The Levush writes that it means a sukkah that a guy made for his animals, that he made it as a hut for his animals. If he changes his mind and he wants to use that for his sukkah b'chag, he's allowed to use it. However, Rav Yosef Engel and Gilyoni HaShas points out that no, sukkah's ganvach might mean that the behema built the sukkah, that the behema built that hut, and if a behema built that shelter, you're allowed to use it. So in the Tshuvas Lahoros Nasan, Rav Nasan Gestetner, Chelichasim Lamentas, he says, I don't understand. How could a sukkah made by a behema be kosher? Sukkah doesn't have to be l'shma, l'shem mitzvah, but it has to be l'shem tzel. At the very least, it has to be built for the sake of providing shade. Is a behema capable of that level of l'shma to make it l'shem tzel? So says Rav Nasan Gestetner, maybe yeah, based on our Gemara. You see that a behema is capable in certain cases of high-level thinking for its own basic needs. So if a sukkah is going to, if a behema is going to be clever enough to burn something in order to get the ashes, in order to self-treat its wound, the behema might be clever enough to know that when it needs protection from the sun, and build a sukkah, l'shem tzel, and build some sort of shelter from the sun. And that would be good enough. That's all you need. That's what he suggests. Okay, frankly, Gemara, miyuka ki agavna, is there really such a thing of an animal that knows to burn something to make the ashes? You know, it's like a pharmacist animal that's sitting there making mixing medicines for itself. In, yeah, absolutely. Da'utura dav berav papa, dav kivin lechinche, that there was an ox that was in Rav Papa's house that his teeth were hurting him. He knew to knock over the covering of the beer bottle to drink the beer in order to make his teeth feel better. That animals sometimes have a sense of what they need in order to feel a refuah, in order to feel better for whatever it is that's ailing them. So says Gemara, can you really say that that just like with the guy, it's for his own benefit, that the shor also would be for his own benefit? The Mishnah says that if your shor embarrasses someone, you're pater, but if you embarrass someone, you're going to be chayiv. So if you're comparing the case of the shor to the case of the person, so when a person embarrasses someone, he's only going to be chayiv if he's niskavin levayish, if he has kavana levayish. So you say that's the case of the shor. The case of the shor is that he has kavana to embarrass. A shor understands the notion of embarrassment. He doesn't understand the notion of embarrassment. There's no kavana for a shor to ever embarrass. And it's more conscious and scavenging the hazik. No, but the shor does have kavana to hurt and to damage, and that's going to be good enough. If you have kavana to damage, that's going to be enough to have to pay for boshes. If you have kavana to damage, even if you don't have kavana for boshes, to cause embarrassment, you're going to have to pay for the embarrassment itself. That level of kavana is going to be considered a significant enough level of kavana to have to pay for the embarrassment. So that was all one approach. Again, we tried to prove from our Mishnah that mekalkel behavara is chayiv, because in our Mishnah we said that if a guy burns if a guy burns a gaddish on Shabbos in a similar way to the way a shor would burn a gaddish, that the guy is going to be chayiv. Now clearly there is no tzarich lafaro for a shor, so we thought that was a raya that mekalkel is chayiv. We rejected that raya and said no, maybe it's shoru d'mi yadidei. But now the Gemara suggests another rejection to that raya. Rava Amar Masnisin Bishogek. Rava says that really our Mishnah is not talking about a case where you're tzarich lafaro, where you need the ashes later on. You know what? You're put from
some tashlumin, not because you're chayiv misa. It's because even the Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg where there is no chayiv misa. So you're not going to be chayiv misa in the case of our Mishnah. And still you're not going to have to pay based on what Tana Dabechiskia taught us. The Tana Dabechiskia, maka adam u maka behema. Ma maka behema lo chalakta be min shogeg meizid be miskavin the shem miskavin be derech ridil derech aliyah. Just like maka behema, we don't make any distinction between doing a shogeg meizid with kavana without kavana in a downward motion, an upward motion. The potter moment. Why you think to say that the person is potter? No, el chayva moment to make the person chayiv af maka adam. So too when it comes to maka adam, lo tachuk bo bin shogeg meizid bin skavin l'shem skavin derech ridel derech aria l'chayva moment to say you're going to be chayiv money if you kill a person, if you do it in any of these ways. So no, el potter moment. Even if you do it in a way where you're not otherwise going to be chayiv misa, you're potter from the monetary payment when you kill a person. That's the great chiddush of Tana Dabechiskia. That Tana Dabechiskia teaches us that even chayave misos shogigin, we say, kam lebidrav minei, that if you did an avera for which you would be chayav misa, even though you are not actually chayav misa, that's enough to get you off from having to pay the money. So that's why in our Mishnah you're pater, not because you're actually chayav. You're not actually chayav. You're going to be pater, but you did an act for which a person would normally be chayav misa. So mela, that's going to be enough to pater the person from any monetary payment. There is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, how to understand Rava's understanding of our Mishnah. According to Rashi, the Mishnah is being mechadish that the person burns the gadish shel chaver b'shabbes, that he's potter from tashlumei nezek even if there was no tzorech, because of the Tana Dabechiskia, exactly like we just explained, that you're potter even if there's no actual misa. For example, if you do a b'shogeg, but if you would have done it b'mezid, you would have been potter. So therefore, even when you do a b'shogeg, you can be potter. So when Rava says that our Mishnah is b'shogeg, it means that just like we could have said that our Mishnah is going like the Tana Dabechiskia, and it's talking about where you burnt b'shogeg, so too you could say that our Mishnah is talking about where you did it b'derech mekalkel, and that's why you're potter, because mekalkel is potter from the misa, but it's still enough to get you out of paying the money. That just because you're not actually going to get the misa, just like by a shogeg when you don't actually get the misa, it's still enough to get you out of paying the money. So too by mekalkel, you don't actually get the misa, so it's enough to get you out of paying the money. That's how Rashi understands. The Balei HaTosfos disagree with Rashi in terms of how to explain that Mishnah. It's a big discussion. Okay, whatever. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim exactly how to understand this line of Rava, but that's at least how Rashi understands. Says the Gemara, Amr le Rabbanan le Rava, mi matzis mukhav la b'shogeg, v'amnei shenidah menavsho katani. How can you say that we're talking about b'shogeg? It says, the mission is beferish, why you're pater from the money. The mission says, mipnei shenidah menavsho. How can you say that we're talking about, oh, it's mekalkel and really you're pater by mekalkel? So it's just that because you did an action that normally carries with it the death penalty, you're putter from the monetary payment. What do you mean? It says nidon b'nafsho, that you're actually getting killed. It says Mirna, hachi kamer. Even the b'mezid nidon b'nafsho, since had you done this b'mezid in a mesakin way, it would have been nidon b'nafsho. What would be a case where it's actually nidon b'nafsho? If it was bayi la'afaro, where you need the ashes, so hashem b'shogeg patur. So even when you do it b'shogeg or when you do it b'derech mekalkel, you're also going to be patur. So that's how to tighten up that line of nidon b'nafsho. Not that you're actually nidon b'nafsho, but since that if you were to be nidon b'nafsho, you'd be patur. So mele now, even though that you're doing it b'derech mekalkel and you're not nidon b'nafsho, you're still going to be patur. Good. New Mishnah. Shor she'irodev achar shor achar v'huzak. One shor is chasing another shor. They turn a corner or something. We don't see what happens. And then we turn the corner and we see the one that was being chased is wounded. Right? So ze omer sharcha hizik, ze omer loki, ele besela laka. So the owner of the nizak says, obviously your shar just damaged my shar. And the owner of the mazik will say, or the supposed mazik will say, no, it wasn't my shor that damaged your shor. Your shor was running. They were just playing and they were running. And probably your shor slipped on a rock or something and landed and hit itself on a rock. Nothing to do with my shor. I don't have to pay anything. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. You want the mazik to pay, you're going to have to bring a raya that in fact... he's the one that did the damage. Now Rashi says the tain of the mazik is that the shor was his chachich besela, rubbed against the rock and got hit, not because of the shor harodev. So the Rashash points out from Rashi, it sounds like if the mazik is moda, that the reason the shor hanizik got hurt from a sela was because it was running away from the shor hamazik, then he would be chayiv midina digarmi. That's considered an indirect but not too indirect way of damage, and you're chayiv midina digarmi. In general, there are two different types of indirect damage. We have grama and garmi. Grama is very indirect, pater. Gram ben zikin is machlok tanaim actually, but garmi is going to be chayiv. The Mukhe Yosef, however, quotes from the Rama that even if the mazik is moda, that the reason this animal got hurt by the rock was because a shor was chasing after it, his own shor was chasing after it, he's still going to be pater because that is not garmi, that is grama. In general, what exactly is the defining difference between garmi and grama is a major topic of the Ramban wrote a whole kuntras about. Tosos in the second paragraph of Maseches Babasra takes a few stabs at it to try to figure out. He lines up all the cases in Shas that are grama and all the cases that are garmi and tries to figure out what the rule is, and to varying degrees of success, meaning none of the rules seem to actually fit every single case in Shas. Very hard to know how to define what's grama, what's garmi. You almost get the impression that Chazal just intuitively tried to figure out what they believe to be grama and garmi, as opposed to working with some ironclad rule. Although the Rishonim seem to assume that they were working with a rule, it's just that they disagree what that rule might have been, and they have difficulty coming up with a rule that actually works. Okay, Hayushnayim wrote for Machar Echad. Let's say there are two animals chasing one animal. Zeomer Sharcha Hizik, Zeomer Sharcha Hizik. They're pretty confident that one of these chasing animals hurt the other animal, hurt the animal, the Nebuch animal that was being chased, but the owners of the two animals that were doing the chasing each point the finger to the other one. Oh, it was your shor that did the damage. Shnei and Peturim. Then both of them are Pater, because again, the same idea of Amotzi Mechaver Olav Varaya. Prove it. Prove that I'm the one that owes the money. But if they're both owned by the same person, then they're going to be chayiv. So because you're the one that owns the animal, so actually shneim chayavim is a little bit of an odd phrase. It should be, what do you mean shneim chayavim? He's chayiv on account of whichever one it was. So Rashi already writes over here mefarish b'gemara, that the gemara is going to explain. The gemara is going to be in Daf Lamed Zayin. It's going to talk about a short tam, that they're both a short tam. So the Mukhe Yosef explains that it's dafka if there are edim that one of them damaged, that we say shneim chayavim. But then when there are no edim, even if the mazik is moda that one of them damaged, he's pater, because even if he would agree that a certain shor of his damaged, he's pater because palganiska kanasa, meaning if you're only paying chatzi nezek and moda b'kanasa is pater, so palganiska kanasa, moda b'kanasa is pater. If he would say it on his own, he'd be pater. So the case has to be that there's an aid that someone saw that one of his shvarim, he maybe just can't identify which of the shvarim, but someone must have seen, or maybe there's an aid echad, not two aidim, so it's not enough to be mechayev himamun, but it's an aid echad, so we know that it's not purely based on hoda'a. That's how the Nemuke Yosef explains. Now the case of two different people showed him running after the one shor, where we said that Yipater, Mi'iri, and Mukhe Yosef explains that the chiddush of the mission is that even though two are running after one and the nirdaf gets hurt, where there's a definite mazik, we know bivadai that one of these animals did the damage, and therefore if you're moda, it's not a case of moda b'knas. It's just we don't know which of the two did the damage, and he's tovea one of them and he's dochem to the other guy. They're both going to be pater because each one has the ability to push off this guy to the other guy. The Rashba has trouble with the lashon. That why does it say that zeomer shorcha hizik, zeomer shorcha hizik? Who are you talking to? The tovea is coming to the owner of shor A and saying, "I want money." So what would I say? I wouldn't say Shorcha Hizik. I would say to the Tavea, Shoro Hizik. That guy is Shor. I wouldn't say Shorcha. So it's an issue with the language that the Rashba picks up on. So the Rashba also asks L'choritz Pasha that each one could be docha to the other one. What's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah? Okay, these are the kashas the Rashba has over here. Says the Gemara in the Mishnah further. Hayechad gadol v'echad katan. Let's say one of them was large and one of them was small. One of the potential damagers. Hanizik omer gadol hizik v'amazik omer lokia l'katan nizik. So since it's a short time, it's only going to be mishali megufo, right? So the nizik says, oh, it was the big shor, the expensive shor that did the damage. The Mazik says, no, it was my little tiny shor that did the damage, and therefore I'm not going to have to pay more than its value. Echad tam v'echad muad. If one of them was a tam, one of them was a muad. Hanizik omer muad hizik. The nizik says, oh, it's the muad that did the damage, so you have to be mishali min aliyah. V'amazik omer lo kiel tam hizik. No, it was my little tam that did the damage. You only have to pay chatzi nizik migufo. Hamotzi mechaveru ala faraya. In all these cases, hamotzi mechaveru ala faraya. You want to get more money, you got to prove it. Hayu anizak in shnayim. Echad gadol v'echad katan. Let's say two shvarim got hurt. One large one, one small one. V'mazik in shnayim echad gadol v'echad katan. But we don't know who hurt who. Hanizik omer gadol hizik as gadol v'katan as katan. The nizik says the big one damaged the big guy, and the little one damaged the little guy. And this way, for his big shor, he can collect megufo of another big shor. V'mazik omer lo ki alakatan as gadol v'gadol as katan. The mazik will say, no, the little guy hurt the big one, and the big one hurt the little one. So even though chatzi nizko shel gadol is maybe a lot of money, but you can't collect more than the little shor that hurt him is worth, because it's only megufa. Echotam echad muad, or you have one is a tam, one is a muad, and nizik omer muad hizik as a gadol, v'tam as a katan. The nizik said that the muad would damage the big one, and the tam damaged the little one. V'mazik omer loki el a tam as a gadol, muad as a katan. Hamotzi mechaver alavarai. In all these cases, hamotzi mechaver alavarai. You want to collect more money, you're going to have to prove that in fact it happened as you said it happened, where you're really owed more money. Amr b'chir barav zoso meres. This is a raya that no one agrees with, that all the other tanaim disagree with sumchus. Sumchus holds mamun amutul b'safik is cholkin, that you divide. Tosfos points out over here on the top. It's in these kinds of cases that Sumchus says that Cholkin, where there's some suffix, there's a leidas ha-suffix, there's reason to know that an episode happened over here and we're not sure what happened. In all the cases where we know that there's an issue, those are all cases where even without anyone saying anything, we know something is up. We just look at the situation and assess, and we realize that something is up. But if the whole safek is only because they're saying something happened, and there is no evident case that actually happened that we would have known on our own, sumchus would not disagree. Sumchus would agree that our motzi mechaver ala v'raya. Tarei l'mandi amaram sumchus afilu bari v'bari. Meaning, if you assume that Sumchus would say Mamram Mutabu Safik is Cholkim, even by a case of Bari Ubari, what's to stop me from going over to you saying, oh, that's a lovely shirt, it's mine? And you saying, no, it's not yours, it's mine. How could you say that? So I'm just going to, oh, I guess we have to split it. I could go over there, I see my neighbor buys a nice car, it's mine. And he'll say, no, what are you talking about? It's not yours, it's mine. Oh, I guess we'll have to split it. So that's crazy. It has to be that there's some evident case over here where we know that there's some sort of suffix. Otherwise, Sumchus would be moda motzi mechaver alav haraya. I can't just go over to my neighbor and tell him that he's got to give me his car. Does Sumchus hold even in the case of Bari Ubari, where everyone is claiming that they know that he would still say Cholkin? Absolutely. How do you know in our Mishnah everyone's coming with the Tainas Bari? Because the Mishnah says it in certain terms. One guy says, you're sure damaged. The other one says, no, absolutely not. Well, if the first case of the Mishnah is where they're both claiming a Tainas Bari, then the second case of the Mishnah must also be where they're both claiming a Tainas Bari. But how does the Sefer read? Nizak omer gadol hizik, mazik omer lo ki ala katan hizik, echotam vechon muad. Right? That was how the Sefer formulated it. So if you're not able to bring a raya, then you're only going to get paid based on the amount the mazik is being moda to. So Nematavi Tiyufta de Rabba Barnasa and Damar Tanu Chitim Vahodala Besorim Potter. So apparently what we're saying is, I'm claiming that you owe me from your big shor. You're claiming you only owe me from your little shor. What I'm claiming, you're not agreeing, you're not admitting to. It's not that you're admitting to part of the payment. You're admitting to something else entirely. Isn't that exactly the case of Tanu Chitim Vahodala Besorim? I tell you, you owe me 100 bundles of wheat, and you say, no, I owe you 50 bundles of barley. That is not a moda b'miktzas. If you say, yes, you owe me 50 bundles of wheat, that would be a moda b'miktzas. So isn't this a tiyuf and Rabbi Barnasan who says that it's not a moda b'miktzas, it'd be pater? Ella b'bari v'shema. No, it must be that the case over here is not a case of a bari ubari, because if it were, then our Mishnah would be a tiyufta on Rabbi Barnasan. So it must be that the case over here is a bari v'shema. Dekamar bari man, who's the one that's coming with the tainas bari? Dekamar shema man, who's the one that's coming with the tainas shema? Inem dekamar nizik bari v'kamar mazik shema. If the nizik is saying, I know for sure you owe me the greater amount of money, and the mazik is saying, maybe not, maybe I only owe you the lesser amount of money, akata le mitavati to Rabbi Barnasan. It would still be tiyufta on Rab Barnasan if that was the case, because it would still be showing of a moda b'miksas that we would consider this a moda b'miksas in b'chayiv. El dekamer nizik shema v'kamer mazik bari. Now the case must be that the nizik is saying shema and the mazik is saying, I know for sure I owe you the lesser amount. To keep the Mishnah parallel, the earlier cases of the Mishnah must also be a case where the Nizik is only coming with the Tainas Shema and the Mazik is coming with the Tainas Bari. Would Sumchus say, even in that case, that we need the Tana of our Mishnah to tell me no, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, and not Momona Mutl B'Savi Cholkin? Lo, Seifa Nizik Shema Mazik Bari. So it says, no. The case of the Seifa is the Nizik says the Tainas Shema, the Mazik says the Tainas Bari. Reisha Nizik Bari Umazik Shema. In the Reisha, it's reversed. The Nizik is with the Tainas Bari, and the Mazik is with the Tainas Shema. Valo Dami Reishal Seifa, but doesn't that make them not parallel? Isn't that problematic? So Amri Bari V'Shema, Shema V'Bari Chad Milsihi. It's not called not parallel. As long as both cases are a case where one guy is saying a Tainas Bari and one guy is saying a Tainas Shema, that's considered parallel enough. Bari ubari, shema ubari, tremi lininu. But if one is a case of bari ubari and the other case is shema ubari, that's considered two separate things, and that's not considered to be parallel. That would be a problem. Gufa, I'm Rabbi Barnasan. Tanu chitim v'ad lo besarim pater. Rabbi Barnasan had taught this chiddush that if I claim wheat and you admit that you owe me a lesser amount of barley, that is not a moda b'miksas. You'd be pater. My kamash melan. What's the chiddush tanina? We already know this from Tanaim. Tanu chitim v'ad lo besarim pater. It already says that beferish. It says Mari ime hasam hava mina pater midmei chitin v'chay b'dmei saorin. Now I might have thought that he's pater from paying the Dmei Chitin, the value of Chitin, but he's still going to be Chayiv. When we say Pater, it doesn't really mean totally Pater. He's still going to be Chayiv Dmei Sarin. Kamash Melon de Pater Legamri. That's why it has to tell me that when we say Pater, we mean Mamish Pater. Tanan, Hayu Anizak and Shnayim Echad Gadol Vechad Katan. Our Mishnah says that if the damaged Shvarim, where there were two of them, one was large, one was small, Halomai Siraya, so we said that Amosim Mechaver Alav Araya. Halomai Siraya, Shakal Kedekamra Mazik. Sounds like if you don't bring a Raya, then you only get to collect what the Mazik admitted to. Amai Chitim Usorim Ninhu. Why would you even be able to collect what the Mazik admitted to? Isn't this a case of Chitim Usorim? You're saying that you owe me from the larger animal, and the Mazik is saying I only owe you from the smaller animal. So says Gemara, Ro'i Litol Ve'Ein Lo. In Achinami, we're saying that he should have been able to take, but he can't take because if he would have been able to bring a raya, he would have been able to collect, but now he can't because he didn't bring a raya. Vatanya hareza mishtali malakatan malgadol gadol malakatan. But doesn't the Braisa say that you actually do get paid in this case? That for the gadol you get paid from the smaller animal, and for the katan you get paid from the larger animal? Says Gemara de tafas. That's assuming that you already took it, then you don't have to give it back. Because that's in general when they have a case of a suffix of a Motsumit Chavir Lavaraya, once he already was toe-faced, so then he doesn't have to give it back. But in Achinami, it's a case where he's claiming Chitin and the other guy is admitting Sa'orim, that you would not normally be Chayiv. Tnan, another raya from the Mishnah, from our Mishnah. Hayechatam vechan muad, and nizikam muad nizikas agadol the tamis akatan v'mazikam lokiel the tamis agadol muad as akatan. Disagreement about which animal was damaged by the muad and which one by the tam, with major financial ramifications. Because if your bigger animal was damaged by the muad, you're going to get nezek shalim on your big animal. But if your bigger animal is damaged by the tam, you're only going to get chatzi nezek on the big animal. So we said motzi mechaver lafaraya. Sounds like again. The same raya. Hello, Maisi Raya, Shakal Kadakar Mazik. That if you don't bring a raya, you're only going to get what the Mazik admitted to. But Va'amai, Chitun Asarin, then who? Why would you get what the Mazik admitted to? Isn't this a case of Chitun Asarin? Ra'ui Litol Ve'enlo. We mean that if you can't bring a raya, you're not going to get anything. Aiva Tanya Reza Mishlam Lakatam Nemurda Gadam Natam. But a Braisa elaborates and explains that you do get paid. So says Gemara, the Tafas. It means if you grabbed it, we're not going to take it back from you. But not that lichatchila, you do get paid. Okay, but I'll show you from there next time.